You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Got the piano that was his.
This is the sound of Sarah Mary Chadwick with Anniversary. And Sarah Mary's in the studio, and we'll be chatting to her just after this, so stay tuned to 95BFM.
Wanna make it all go away. Anniversary after anniversary, and I don't buy it, so I stay silent, and I don't buy it, and I'll cry in private. Cause when everyone's gone, who keeps the lights on? Alone with a song, but never the right one. The people are blur and a flurry of fur, and I'm dragging myself off the road. Sick of being owned by the dead. It's time I lease my heart out again, spruced it up. And it's so sad that I won't waste another second. I've got my own problems, installing won't solve them. Morning's not a boathouse that I can hide out in. Cause when
that is the absolutely stunning Anniversary by Sarah Mary Chadwick from The Queen Who Stole the Sky. And we've got Sarah Mary Chadwick in the studio. Morena, how are you?
Morning, very good, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks for coming up. It's such a pleasure to be able to chat to you about some very exciting things that are happening this week with your music. Very specifically, we're talking about the performance you're going to be doing on Thursday as part of Fringe Town 2020 at the Auckland Town Hall on the grand organ.
Yes.
This is very cool. What can you tell us about The Queen Who Stole the Sky? So this is an album you had that came out last year and was composed for another grand organ, yep, across the ditch in, yep, Australia.
So it was a commissioned work from the Melbourne Council, I guess. And I think, to be honest, I think they got me to do it because it was quite close to the end of the financial year and they know that I work really fast. I just really had to get like one more project out.
She'll smash it out. That's what we need, yeah.
And yes, I had to write, I guess, like a suite of whatever for that instrument. And I didn't really have like an idea of what it was going to be about, but, mm-hmm, I always kind of write from my own life quite closely, so that's kind of what came out. And I've done it a couple of times now, so I did it on that instrument and then at St. Paul's Cathedral in Melbourne and then now in Auckland.
Yeah.
And yeah.
So it's quite special to be able to actually see this performed, because it's not like, you know, a normal band setup where you can just borrow a mate's guitar and like grab some drum kit. You have to have a grand organ, and it's kind
of... Yeah, I think like I've played a couple of the songs like on piano a few times, but yeah, I pretty much only have played it twice in entirety, yeah. So... hopefully it goes well.
Yes, I'm sure it will be fantastic. So the one you wrote it on, that's 147 years old.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think when we spoke on the phone a few weeks ago, that's just so unfathomably old for a small country, like a young country like New Zealand. It's almost as old as some of our own histories.
Yeah.
It's kind of incredible. How did approaching an instrument like that feel? Was it different to when you normally sit down and write? Did you kind of have any sort of... changes in your thinking about music making?
I mean, definitely, like, I think because it's such a kind of formidable instrument, definitely you don't want it to own you very much. Like, I had to kind of brace myself to, like, not be dwarfed by it.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I was kind of trying to write quite big songs, I guess, to compete with the size of it, because you don't want to be, like, an idiot, like, I know, scratching at it, you know what I mean?
So,
I think I was consciously trying to go quite large in terms of... like dynamics and content and pretty much just that really. And like also wanting to do it a bit of justice, like kind of work it out a bit, as opposed to, you know, you don't want to only play with a portion of it, like trying to make sure you're stretching it.
If you've got a chance to have a play around on something like that, you want to use it. Yeah.
Well, if you're using it, you want to use it properly, kind of thing.
Totally.
So just that really. Yeah.
Yeah. And it is quite amazing to hear these incredibly personal, as you said, songs projected onto this grand scale. It has that intensity that I think like a really personal narrative already sort of possesses, and then you put it on this grand scale and it is almost, I mean, like, I can't think of a better phrase than like a religious is not the word I'm looking for, but kind of spiritual in the uplifting or the like the raising of those stories to such a high platform. Maybe does it feel different performing this album than it does to performing other works you've made?
It may be slightly more, I mean, again, I don't like to use words like vulnerable, but maybe just because it is quite, you know, personal content. And I mean, it'll, like, I generally fuck with that, but like I guess maybe like it's feels a bit more kind of stripped back or exposed than what I normally would feel like, I guess, because like you say, you are elevating you know, quite small experiences to quite a, you know,
grand scale.
Sure. So yeah, I guess it is, but in saying that, not really, it's not, that's not really something I would think about very much,
to be honest.
I'm like, still put it
just playing the songs, getting it out. It's also been a very busy year for you as well, because you just put out another album at the end of January, Please Daddy, which we've been absolutely thrashing up here BFM. We've had many tracks on the playlist, and just everyone's just been playing it anyway because it's wonderful. How's it felt getting that one out?
Good. I think, like, so I've obviously been doing music and stuff for a long time, and like that record's got quite good feedback or whatever, so like you know, I don't heaps care what other people say, but it's always nice when people say good things about it.
Selective caring is good.
So that's been good. I think, like, I like that record. I recorded another one maybe 3 months ago that will come out in September.
Awesome.
And I kind of feel like that Queen record, Please Daddy, and the next one are kind of like a kind of group.
Cool.
Is
that in terms of like content that you're writing about, or just the way you've approached it, or?
I guess they're all quite different. So there's the organ one, then Please Daddy is obviously a band one, and then the next one is just singing and piano.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like, I don't know, if something about the content kind of feels like it's worked something out, probably. The three of them together feel quite realised or whatever, and like that the ideas are kind of completed.
That must be a good feeling to sort of feel like, yeah, actually I can kind of full stop this idea maybe for a bit, or like feel like I can look at it as a whole now.
that's what millions of years of therapy will do for you.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, finally done. I'm saying that.
Fantastic. And we've also talked about this a bit in the past as well, but you do all your own artwork for your album covers and your sort of like, I guess, the visual world of your records. What kind of draws you towards the kind of graphic, pornographic images that you use sometimes? Because they're quite interesting.
I've kind of moved a little bit away from that now. Maybe, I mean, you know, you're kind of always trying to work out something, so probably like, mm-hmm. probably literally working out my own sexuality.
Yeah.
But I think, I don't know, I guess I always like drawing lots of shapes and stuff and colours and, but yeah, I'm doing quite like conservative drawing. They're like just basically black and white portraits of friends and stuff. So
yeah.
I've kind of stopped doing that a little bit,
yeah.
I guess. But I mean, what's more interesting than that? Like,
we're all strange part of humanity, strange and very everywhere as well. Drawing your friends though, how does that feel? Do you feel like a weird pressure when you're taking it like the likeness of someone else and doing it? Do you feel sort of like?
Sometimes with people who I don't, so it's basically a kind of poor excuse for me to socialise with people as well, because
nice,
if people just come around or get people to send you nudes, it's really good. Like, people do it all the time. If you just ask them, like, yes, paint me.
Draw me like one of your French girls.
It is exactly that, honestly. If you want to, like, get your friends to send you nudes, just tell
recreate
you.
Recreate the Titanic.
You can do their portrait. Yeah. But I think with people, I notice if the better I know someone, obviously the easier it is to draw them, but like sometimes with friends it takes twice.
Yeah.
But I think I feel like you just gotta like really like the person and then you can kind of get their faces a lot. Like
yeah.
I didn't realise I was very good at likeness until quite recently, and then I'm like, I'm actually very good at this.
I am. This is a skill I have. Yeah, that's a nice feeling. We're gonna play another track from The Queen Who Stole the Sky now, which is the record you will be playing on Thursday. How are you gonna do it? Are you gonna play like it
I think
in
I might
entirety?
Just play it top to bottom, yeah.
Cool, that's very special. Yeah, I love to be able to hear a record like that. I think especially with a lot of your writing as well, I do like to listen to it in its sort of narrative flow.
Yeah.
So that's going to be very awesome. If people want to come and get tickets, they can go to the AucklandLive.co.nz page and buy a ticket there. It's a sliding scale between $15 and $35, and you don't want to miss out. It's going to be super special. Happening this week, 27th of February, at the Great Hall in the Auckland Town Hall. Sarah Mary Chadwick, thank you so much for coming
and chatting to us
this morning. Are
nice
you off to you off to do a practice after
yes,
this?
Yes, I am going to.
Very exciting. Let's listen to the title track from The Queen Who Stole the Sky by Sarah Mary Chadwick. You're on BFM.
And I'm waiting in the wings to see what winter brings, 'cause the mornings always sting and I need something to wait for. And I'm fighting back the tears, I've been fighting them for years, but I think I can hold on at least for a little longer. There's always something lost and there's no time to make it right. I'm rolling with my wounds into the night and giving the chance. I'm alive, and my body it vibrates as these phrases I relate. I'm always somewhere on the brink between living and the drink. It's like a fabric made of sky, the moment before you die. But I guess that's just a lie, and I better start living mine. 'Cause there's no reason I can't wear a dress made out of sky. Sometimes stormy, sometimes blue and bright. Except family and fear and lack of courage. tomorrow could be fine. Friends and have no friends. Loves will start and loves will end. And if there is a God, I'd like to thank them for my time. I have had fun no matter how it seems. Can't bear to let this end. There's no last line.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.